The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is pre-recorded.
This is Simply for Women, a place for that mom who knows the chaos of life, the daughter who faces the challenges of the day, and for those women who want to deepen their faith. God invites us to take Him off our to-do list and to simply be. To simply be with Him.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Media Group, staff, management, or advertisers.
Now here's your host, Jennifer Jackson.
Well, today we kick off a series on an Easter heart, and we all want to develop an Easter heart, don't we? This is not one that busies itself with bunnies and baskets, but rather an Easter heart is hopeful, it's desperate, it's humble, it's waiting. And those are the things that we're going to unpack all this entire week. And I know you're going to love this because the cross is so central to our faith. We're going to kick it off with the entry and how Jesus came in humbly, riding on a donkey. They were celebratory, waving their branches, but they were also humble, laying their coats, laying down their identity, laying down their prizes before the Lord. So we're going to start looking at that, the entry, even today. I want you to enjoy this message on an Easter heart. I gave this at the church next door. Here we go.
Well, tonight we are going to talk about how we can prepare our hearts for Easter. We all want to have an Easter heart, don't we? Well, I'll tell you what an Easter heart is not. An Easter heart is not one that busies itself with bunnies or baskets. But rather, an Easter heart is one who believes in Jesus. You know, I remember one of my favorite Easters. My mom had actually made us dresses. We had hats. We had the little cute purses and gloves. Our church had fried chicken boxes after Easter service. It was so much fun. It was absolutely one of my favorite holidays on Easter. We had a little egg hunt. All of those things are really wonderful, aren't they? Those things are important. And you gather around the table and have ham and deviled eggs and all of the trimmings. I love that about Easter. But what we want to talk about tonight is how to develop something beyond all of the exterior things that we see and to develop a real deep heart, a heart for Jesus and a heart that believes in Jesus. And that is an Easter heart. So tonight we're going to talk about the entry. We're going to talk about the garden, and we're going to talk about the cross, just a bit of the cross, and next week we'll talk about more than that. But I thought we would start together and read aloud a scripture. It's in Isaiah 61:7, and it says, "Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, and so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours." Jesus came on Palm Sunday humbly. He came so humbly on a donkey, and as we humble ourselves before Him, all of that shame, all of those things that we feel, He's going to give us a double portion. And that is part of the beauty of Easter. I remember being in Israel and going down the Palm Sunday path. And as you head down the Mount of Olives, it's this winding, steep walk, and you can see the beautiful gate ahead of you. I could hear all of the people singing Hosanna. And to this day, they take that path and they sing Hosanna, and they sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. There is something very celebratory about the Palm Sunday entry when Jesus came in. I want us to look at that passage together, and that is in Luke 19:35-41. It says, "They brought it to Jesus, the donkey, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, the people spread their coats on the road. When he came near the place of the road that goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out." And as he approached Jerusalem and saw it, he wept over the city. Isn't that an incredible passage? I want to talk about that a little bit and think about how he came into that city so humbly, weeping. Christ came to Jerusalem weeping on a donkey. And we don't want to underestimate the excitement of the day. You know, you have all of the children and the branches and the hosannas and the singing. But I think about this really unique fact. And that is that some people put their coats on the ground and let that donkey ride over their coats. It was really humility, wasn't it? It was really an act of humility. And their king is coming on this donkey. You know, we have a donkey at our house, and her name is Olive. She's a Jerusalem donkey. And so on her back, she has a cross. And this donkey is, she's little. And I think about how tall I am and trying to get on that donkey to ride. This was not a fancy ride. There was nothing fancy about it at all. And what a statement to us. What a statement to us to imagine the humility of Christ. Imagine that he would come in on a donkey and then they would lay their coats. And I think about a coat in their day. What did that coat represent? Well, that coat represented their identity. That coat may have been the only thing they had. That may have been their most valuable possession. That coat would have shown who they were, what their position was. That coat represented so many things, and they chose to lay them on the ground. And I think you and I can do the same. I always stop in Israel at the Church of the Tear. So there's a church in all of Israel. This is my absolute favorite place. You know, most people, when we take them to Israel, they say, "I loved the Sea of Galilee." There's nothing like the Sea of Galilee. Or they'll say, "Oh, I love the wall around Jerusalem." There's nothing like the wall or the Garden Tomb. But for me, it's this tiny church. It's this teeny tiny church in the shape of a tear. It's a one-room church. It's called Dominus Flevit. And in Latin, that means he wept. And so halfway down the Palm Sunday ride, you have this one-room church. And it's a tier, and it has a window, and the window overlooks the city. And I go in there, and I pray. I do it every time I get there. I find a minute to go into that church, because I think about, what did he weep over? Are we even thinking or weeping or crying over what broke his heart? You know what Jesus said when he was looking over the city of Jerusalem? He said he was crying because they might not know the peace that he was going to bring to them. They might never know that peace. And if we never, ever get to know the Lord, if we never get to have this Easter heart that believes in Jesus, we might spend our whole life missing out on the peace that he can bring. So let's look at this. What can we learn from the Palm Sunday path, from this entry? I think we want to start by a little prayer that we pray and say, "Lord, I choose to humble myself before you." That's a great prayer. I love short little prayers. You can pray that in the grocery store line. You can pray that when you're driving. And this is just a prayer. "Lord, I choose to humble myself before you." And what does that mean? When you go before the Lord in humility, maybe you bow your head. Maybe you physically get on your knees beside your bed. You humble yourself physically and say, "Lord, I need you." Also, you humble yourself in your heart. It's an attitude of the heart. And you're saying, "Lord, I give you my coat, all my dreams, my identity, my wealth, my everything. Here's my coat." So when you come before the Lord in that humility, you lay it all down and you say, "Lord, I want your will to be done in my life." These are all the things that we need to do in humility. We say, weeping, "Lord, what are you weeping about? I want to weep about the same thing." And then you release, when you give him your coat, you release all of these things. What are your coats? I think for me, there's so many different things that we might think of as our coat that we need to lay down before him. We always would fix up a house. We felt like God would give us an initiative. God would give us an initiative, something that he wanted us to do. Maybe it was go to Kenya. Maybe it was to help the boys with a project that they were working on. And so we were fixer-uppers. But I think over time, I realized I had to give the Lord my house. I like to nest. So that was one of those things. I had to lay that down. And I did that several times. I just had to literally, physically lay down the idea of the house or the condo or wherever we were so that we could take up the initiative that God had given us. And that was one of my coats that I laid down. And even to this day, we're still working on the trim on our house because we've given so many of those coats down to the Lord. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it was a job that you gave up. Maybe it was something that you wanted to do, a dream that you thought God asked you to give up or to go a different direction. What about a badge? Maybe a badge that you thought you should wear. I think about walking through breast cancer, and I thought, well, I need to wear a badge that says, I'm a survivor. No, I had to give that up because I felt like I'm a daughter of a king. I'm a daughter of the Lord, and I don't need to have a badge other than Christ, right? He is our badge. We lay it all down, everything that you've been through, everything, all of your dreams, and that is part of preparing your heart for Easter. So who are you in the crowd? Who are you in the crowd when they're saying Hosanna? Are you celebrating the miracles that he's done? Or are you laying down your coat? Are you hopeful or doubting? Are you wondering? Who are you? Are you rude or grouchy like those Pharisees? Are you fussing at the Lord? I think about that. The Pharisees were so rude, weren't they, at that time? But we all ask ourselves, who are we? Who are we in the Palm Sunday crowd? So that's the entry. I love the entry.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the beginning of an Easter heart, the entry. And as you go through your day to day, that you will humble yourself before the Lord. Say, God, I just humble myself before you. Ask him to show you anything that you need to lay down as we prepare our hearts for the cross. You know, Easter is a message that we need all year long. We need that heart for God and the cross. It's so central to our faith. And I have a devotional with this, and you can get that at jenniferjackson.com. What's really neat is you can grab a few girlfriends, a cup of coffee, and together go through this any time of year. And you have the small group study guide there. There are showers of power that go along with it that will keep you praying the scripture every day as you go through the study. And you can find all of that and the lessons and a video as well, all at jenniferjackson.com. My goal is just to help you to understand that Palm Sunday ride, the waiting, the garden, the cross, and the resurrection. I'm Jennifer, and you're listening to Simply for Women.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.